Dying with dignity. This is a thing which affects so many families. Listeners to this, they will have situations themselves or with relations where people are unwell, people are in different care settings and care situations. And it's very difficult to see loved ones deteriorate and for life to go out of them. Now, for many people, every day is precious and life is precious, and the idea of assisted suicide should not come into the conversation. But for some, they believe they should have the option. And there are situations where people have gone to Switzerland or have brought loved ones to Switzerland. And there have been legal cases about that as well. Assisted suicide is illegal in Ireland. And it's something that has become a political topic in the last while, with the Dying with Dignity Bill being proposed in the Dáil. Paul Flynn is 59. He lives on his own in a large house on the outskirts of Slieveroo. His brain is fully functioning. He's bright. He's witty. He doesn't do pity. He has multiple sclerosis, known as MS. And it developed after an accident he had in the early 2000s. Now, scientific research is continuing, looking at the correlation between MS and car crashes or accidents. And one recent study says neurologists in the US, they think that trauma could have an effect on the systems in our body and raise the risk of inflammatory cells entering the central nervous system. Paul's life is now effectively his armchair, where he sits every day of every week of every month. He's listening to this now after waking up in his chair. He eats in his chair. He wheezes in his chair into a little bottle. He sleeps in his chair. He'll wake up again tomorrow in his chair. His legs are gone, and his condition is going to get worse. He's existing, but is he living? Is he living with dignity? Should he be allowed the option to die with dignity? He wants to have that option of potentially taking his own life. As I say, this is a difficult interview, and it may not be suitable for some people.
I'm in the armchair 23 and a half hours a day.
Do you sleep in the armchair?
I do.
Paul Flynn comes from a big family, originally from St. John's Park. His family moved to Lisdougan when he was only 5. And they also spent a number of years in Larchville. He's in his chair now in front of me. His head is flopped to the left, nearly on his shoulder, and slightly down. He's wearing a light blue Tommy Hilfiger top. There's a green towel over the stubs of his legs, or where his legs would have been. His carer empties the container containing urine when the carer comes in the evening or in the morning time. That container is on the small table in front of him now, beside his rolled up cigarettes and some sweets. On his left hand side are some tablets and a couple of containers with liquid water to keep him hydrated. And the remote controls for televisions are on his right hand side.
I'm one of 9 children. I'm roughly in the middle.
You're 15 years out here in Slieveroo?
Yes, I was pushed. I was banished out to the outskirts of Slieveroo.
How do you find it over in South Kilkenny?
I find it lovely. It's a lovely, quiet setting here.
Lovely house here. Very accessible, obviously, for wheelchair. Talk to me about your condition, if you don't mind.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis back in 2001. I had been in a road traffic accident in 2000, which subsequently led to the diagnosis.
How has the MS progressed?
As I say, I was involved in a road traffic collision. A guy crashed into me up near Boris, County Carlow. I got fairly bad whiplash. I got my GP to refer me to an orthopaedic consultant. He put me through a few months of physio, and at the end of it, he said, I had arthritis and I had whiplash. I said, that doesn't explain why I go weak. He said, well, we could send you for an MRI, which at that time, the only one MRI in Ireland, up in Blackrock Clinic. So I went up there, got my first scan, and I think this is the 22nd of December, 2000, I was told that mechanically I was sound, but electrically there was a problem. I got an emergency referral with the choice of either Cork or Dublin. I chose Cork, and an emergency appointment took, after 6 months, I still hadn't got the appointment. So they referred me to, instead of UCC, they sent me to UHC. They sent me to the Mercy in Cork. Yeah. I was brought down there for a few days. They'd done various tests, and then they diagnosed me.
Over the years, how has it affected you? You're sitting here now in the chair, and it's an obvious thing to say. You've no legs.
Yeah. They fell off one day, what can I say?
They fell off.
What do you call it? And the problem was fluid retention. They actually flooded. I started getting on one leg, first of all, the right, and I started developing water blisters because of fluid retention. And what do you call that? Those water blisters ulcerated, and it was fluid seeping through the skin, and it burnt its way through the skin. So I had public health nurses calling here every second day to clean and change dressings. Very painful experience. But it gradually progressed. At the time, I couldn't obtain a medical card because my income exceeded the limits. They had no consideration for my medical condition. So at that time, I was forking out €400 a month just on dressings. I had to pay someone to come and apply them.
So the legs had to be formally amputated?
Correct. The first was apparently what the doctor reckoned was probably my first MS symptom, was a loss of circulation in the right leg. The only option then was to amputate from kind of mid-thigh level down. Because I'd been left in a wheelchair for 2 months, 24 hours a day, the left leg could not straighten again. So therefore the fluid retention was there, as fluid couldn't get past the knee. I decided at that point there was no point, so the left leg was amputated. I had both of them off in 2021.
Other parts of the body? You're kind of hunched over a bit. Is that part of it as well?
Basically, once you get your legs amputated, you have nothing to counterbalance the body weight above the hips.
Oh, yes.
So you're constantly falling backwards. I have to get a couple of anchors stapled onto my stumps to keep me balanced.
How have you found it since the legs were gone?
What do you call it? I'm delighted to be rid of the pain. Anyone that witnessed how I was prior to amputation would understand what a relief it is. Because the legs with MS, I kind of lost the ability to walk anyway. I used to get very severe cramps in the legs, which are very painful. Between that and the ulceration of the legs, it was a relief. As I say, at that point, I couldn't walk anyway. So the legs were only ornaments, really. So once they started causing severe pain, it wasn't really a huge loss to have lost them.
We're going to talk in a minute about dignity. And to me, it's the heart of this discussion. You have the little plastic area there, unit for the urine.
Yeah.
Dignity comes into this in a big way, does it?
Well, it does, but I look at it in practical terms. I need the likes of the bottle and the various other implements I have around me.
Yeah.
So I only regard them as practical aids. Okay. I'm not overly sensitive to having to use them.
And with the word dignity, it takes in on board then dying with dignity.
Yes.
And the Dying with Dignity Bill that Jean O'Kenny has introduced, other countries adopting certain laws. What do you want?
At that time, prior to having the legs amputated, I did look into the option of Switzerland. My sister and my niece were going to accompany me. Now, at the time, there had been that case, I think the girl's name was O'Rourke, and she was arrested on her return to Ireland. The case was subsequently dismissed. At the time, like this is 2020, 2021, I did, rather than go through the pain, I did look at the option of going to Switzerland. The problem at that time was there was no scheduled flights. So in order to leave Ireland, I would have had to pay for a medical evacuation, which would be in excess of €100,000.
How do you feel about euthanasia now?
I believe it should be an option. At the moment, you get palliative care once you have a terminal diagnosis. With conditions like MS, you will never get a terminal diagnosis because it's not MS you're diagnosed with at death. It's organ failure. I rang the MS Society of Ireland after getting my legs amputated to find out how common amputation was among MS patients. They rang me back about a week later and said they got a huge response from physiotherapists they have based all over the country. And there's not a single other single amputation, let alone a double amputation. I believe I'm quite unique. So amputation is rare enough. Everyone thinks I have diabetes, which is the most common reason for amputation. Rather than go through the ordeal I was going through at that time, Switzerland is an option I would have loved to have taken. But I believe you should have an option, especially if you have... The condition don't have to be, or shouldn't have to be, determined by whether you have a terminal diagnosis or not. If that's your choice, not to go through the indignity of the illness, you should have the option to have the facilities they have in, I think, 5 or 6 other European countries. But it's only Switzerland that allows foreign nationals to avail of the service.
What are you facing?
Well, it's slow and steady progression of the condition. So I don't know really. Most of my symptoms are based from the neck down. My centre of the illness is basically my spine. So anything that's fed from the spinal cord, which is basically everything below neck, it could be anything in those areas that could fail, like kidneys, liver, heart. But again, that would not be diagnosed as a terminal condition.
So you haven't been told, Paul, how many years you have to live?
No, because nobody can determine that. And as I say, if I was to die, they would diagnose me as dying from kidney failure or whatever it may be, rather than MS. MS is never the cause of death. It's organ failure.
The Dying with Dignity Bill, I was reading about it in advance of this interview. I've interviewed a few people about this. There are lots of provisions within it and lots of guidelines and different things. Do you think the bill should become law?
Well, I think in theory, the idea of having that option for people who have very serious health conditions should be available. Why should it was like with the abortion thing for years. We exported the problem and we're just doing the very same with this issue as well. So we should have the option that you don't have to leave your own country to avail of a service like that. So yes, it should be brought in all countries.
Would you avail of it?
At that time, I said I was quite prepared to go through with it. At the moment, I take it on a case-by-case basis. It depends on what happens my health from here on in. I'm leaning to one side. I have to lean one side or the other. The body weight is all above hips now. You're naturally inclined to fall back. It's an effort to be sitting upright.
What quality of life do you have, Paul?
My life is very limited now. I need at least 2 carers to hoist me from the chair here, either into bed or into my motorised wheelchair. The HSE provide a service, in theory, 2 carers for an hour, 8 to 9, 2 to 3 in the afternoon and 7 to 8 in the evening. They are running low on options in terms of agencies. For the last couple of weeks, I've had no carers on behalf of the HSE. So it is only the people I can manage to hire myself, that I get through the day.
How do you feel about debt?
I've no fear of debt. Debt doesn't bother me. I'm not religious, so I don't have any issues around pleasing St. Peter. Debt for me is a practical solution to an issue that cannot be resolved medically. So in terms of me, like I'm not married, I don't have children, so I have very few attachments to keep me here. If the suffering gets too much, it is definitely an option I would look at again.
Are you lonely?
No, I'm not.
You have friends?
I have plenty of friends. As long as there is some benefit, if there's something that gives a quality of life.
Yes.
If my life is totally dependent on the meagre services that the state provide, they give me 3 hours out of 24. So for the other 24 hours, it's up to myself how I manage it. As you say, I cannot get up and fetch something for myself. Everything now has to be laid out on a table in front of me that I can manage to reach. Yeah.
How many hours a day would you spend in the chair?
Damn near 24. I get hoisted to use a commode, which takes probably half an hour. And other than that, I'm back in the armchair. Great. So I'm in the armchair 23 and a half hours a day.
Do you sleep in the armchair?
I do. I can show you. That's my sleeping position.
My goodness. You're just putting your head down on the towel. You lean over on the handrail, if you call it, It must be very uncomfortable, is it?
I've become quite used to it at this point. But as I say, I would need two carers to hoist me into bed and two to hoist me back out again. Seeing as the HSE can't get the staff to cover that, I could be left in the bed for a few days unless I had private carers to provide the service. Yeah, it does lead to a very restrictive form of living. As long as I'm just enjoying having had the legs amputated, that I don't have the intense pain and discomfort I went through there. So as long as I'm not suffering too much, I'm not going to worry too much about Switzerland. But it's definitely an option I will keep on standby.
And are you in pain? I presume you have to take medication or...
I'm constantly on meds and I have very restricted swallowing because another symptom of MS. Swallowing tablets and things can be a bit of an issue. I'm on quite a few of them. But who knows what symptom will appear next, and therefore I would definitely have that option in mind.
Would you, or have you considered suicide?
I have. I have indeed. But obviously...
Have you ever tried it?
No, I have not. In the last 18 months, I had 3 friends died by suicide. So it is a life topic. No, I haven't. But I've devised a method that would save me travelling to Switzerland, where I could do it myself. I used to be an engineer, so I can be quite clever around things.
Somebody listening to this, they might say, that's a scary thing to think about.
It may be for some people. For me, it's not, because, again, it's not an emotional decision. It's purely a practical decision. If you don't have quality of life, what's the point in living? Yes, there will be some suffering, but if you had enough of a quality of life, it may balance it out a bit. For me, because I don't have many attachments, it's not an emotional decision, it is just a practical one. So yes, I would. I do think people who have serious medical conditions should have that option, because why suffer unnecessarily?